This is Kelly Blewett. I'm joined tonight by Carrie Kennedy, daughter of the late Bobby Kennedy, who is here to discuss her new book, Robert F. Kennedy, Ripples of Hope. This edited collection, featuring contributions from Barack Obama to Bono, represents one of the many recent efforts to remember Bobby Kennedy on the 50th anniversary of his death. Carrie Kennedy is the president of Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights. Since 1981, she has worked on diverse human rights issues and authored two books in addition to this one. Welcome, Carrie.
Well, it's great to be on with you.
Now, your father, Robert F. Kennedy, died 50 years ago when you were a child. How old were you, and how well do you remember him?
I was 8 years old when he died, but my father was not a Don Draper type 60s dad. He was very present in our lives, and he was always doing whatever we were doing at that moment. He was with us. I remember as a kid, we used to have lots of battles in our household. I had 7 brothers and 3 sisters, and he'd always follow the same pattern. One day, my brother Michael and I were playing World War II in our treehouse, and Michael was better aim and a little bit older, so he was the Americans holding the upper fort, and I was the Germans trying to reach that fort, and he was throwing magnolia pods down at me, which look like hand grenades but feel like rocks when they hit your head. And I took one hit too many and ran up to my dad and had tears streaming down my face and said, "Michael's throwing rocks at my head." And my father said, "Well, go get Michael." And I went and got my brother and I brought him back. And my father said, "Okay, Carrie, tell me what happened." And I told him the whole sorry saga. And then he said, "Okay, Carrie, you don't interrupt. And Michael, you tell your side." And you know what? That the truth came out. And I realized I wasn't all right and he wasn't all wrong. And we had to kiss and make up and go to our rooms and read for an hour. But I think that the message my father had for us was the same message he had for our country, which is we have to have a system of justice that everybody believes in. We have to be responsible for making peace that's prayed for. But you have to stop seeing your adversaries as enemies and start seeing them as your brothers and sisters. And you need to go to your room and read for an hour.
Now, why did you choose to conduct a series of interviews about your father and his legacy rather than write a straightforward memoir?
Well, you know, there are lots of biographies of my father out there, and I wasn't really interested in looking back 50 years, but I was really looking forward to the next 50 years and understanding what it was about my father and what about his message we need to carry forward today. And then I was really interested in this diversity of people who view my father as a great influence on their life and why that's true. There's one story actually in here from Cincinnati that is one of my favorites. Shall I tell it to you?
Please do.
Okay, so this is from George Clooney, whose father was on television in Cincinnati in the late 1960s. And when my father died, his father told him the news. George was 8. And his father said, "So what do you think we should do about it?" And George said, "Well, God, I don't know. I guess maybe we should give something up, and like we do for Lent." And his father said, "Okay, that's a great idea. What do you want to give up?" And George said, "I really love playing cowboys and Indians, so I'll give up my guns."
Oh.
And George was thinking for a day, right? So he goes on TV the next day and says, "I'm so proud of my son, George. He's giving up his guns forever." And George is like, "Wait, what? No, no." And then he goes to school and it says, "We're so proud of George," brings him up in the front of the class. "He's giving up his guns forever." And then he goes to the grocery store and the woman behind the counter says, "I'm so proud of you giving up your guns forever." So he said, "So, you know, I felt so guilty about wanting to play with those guns that I was supposed to give them up forever." And that continued to motivate all of my social justice work to this day. So it's kind of a fun way of getting to know Bobby Kennedy, but also learning more about people as diverse, Clooney and Bono and John Lewis and Tim Cook from Apple and Gloria Steinem, who covered my father during the 1960s, was a journalist. So a lot of different voices, a lot of different ways of looking at the same man.
I also think that given your father's ability to draw bridges between diverse people, a sort of polyvocal remembrance seems especially appropriate.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that's especially important today when our country is so divided. This country has not been this divided since 1968. We had these huge protests, pre-war protests and pro-war protests, and enormous divisions between black and white, young and old, rich and poor. And so there's a lot that we can learn from a political leader of that day whose whole campaign was around healing divisions and bringing people together.
I also loved John Lewis's insight after your father's death that he chose not to be bitter, but to continue to engage. And that was something personally reading this that really inspired me. Was there anything that surprised you, any details people brought up that you hadn't seen coming?
Well, John Lewis talked about going door to door with Cesar Chavez in 1968. I mean, I cannot imagine having a knock on the door and finding John Lewis and Cesar Chavez there. But I think about the influence of my father on such a wide range of people. You're from Cincinnati, and that's such an interesting city because it really embraces left and right. And I remember going into Cincinnati to the Underground Railroad Museum, which all your listeners should definitely trek on down there if they haven't seen it. That is the fault line of the division in our country. And we need to hear this voice today. When my father ran for president, he said, peace and justice and compassion towards those who suffer, the United States should stand for.
Yes.
Imagine a serious candidate for president saying peace, justice, and compassion towards those who suffer. It's hard to imagine today, and yet that's what our country is yearning for. That's what we need.
The fourth generation of Kennedys is now committing itself to public service. Why is this commitment such an essential part of the family legacy?
Well, I think it is part of our family values. You know, when I was growing up, I had 10 brothers and sisters. My mother just basically really couldn't care less what your report card said. But if you went out and volunteered, oh, that was a big discussion at the dinner table. Mm-hmm. You know. And during the summers, I remember one summer, and Sister Kathleen worked on an Indian reservation. Brother Joe was working on a farm in Spain. My brother Bobby was working with the Maasai Mara in Africa. My brother David was working as a farm worker with Cesar Chavez. I mean, you know, this is really part of who our family was. And then we'd come around the dinner table and everybody talk about work that we were doing. And it was fun and interesting. And you would learn through other people's eyes and ears. My nephew, Congressman Joe Kennedy, and he's really articulates so much family values, both John and Robert Kennedy and Teddy and Eunice and all the rest.
And I loved what your father had to say about that when he commented, and you have this on a sort of standalone page in the book, public life seemed really an extension of family life, he said. So thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, Carrie.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
I've been talking with Carrie Kennedy, whose new book is Robert F. Kennedy, Ripples of Hope. More information on this title can be found on our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. This is Kelly Blewett.
Like it or not, we live in times of danger and uncertainty. That is the way he lived. That is what he leaves us. My brother need not be idealized or enlarged in death beyond what he was in life. To be remembered simply as a good and decent man who saw wrong and tried to right it, saw suffering and tried to heal it, saw war and tried to stop it. Those of us who loved him and who take him to his rest today pray that what he was to us, what he wished for others, will someday come to pass for all the world. As he said many times in many parts of this nation, those he touched and who sought to touch him, Some men see things as they are and say why. I dream things that never were and say why not.